I'd like to share this morning what the Lord has put on my heart for today in a passage in Luke in the 9th chapter. And I've written on the board conditions of discipleship. We have record of, in the 9th chapter of Luke, of three men that Jesus talked to about discipleship. And there were three men. One of them volunteered and two of them were called that came and wanted to follow Christ. And actually two volunteered and one was called. And Jesus addressed what it meant to be a disciple. If you're going to follow me, this is what's necessary. And there are some valuable lessons in here that I trust will be a challenge and encouragement to us today. I'd like to begin in Luke chapter 9, in verse 57. Said, it came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Now, it's interesting, first of all, that this man acknowledged that Christ was Lord, teacher, master, and he came recognizing that this is not just another person I want to sit under their tutelage. He came and he said, I will come, he said, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. That sounds like the attitude that God wants us to have. You say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Wherever you go, I'm going to go. Now, but there are some things that we want to take note of as we read this passage, and that is that Christ's answer tells us a lot about the condition of the men's heart that were expressing a desire to follow him. We did not see these men's heart, but based upon what Christ's response was, it tells us something about it. This man here was someone that sounded very enthusiastic. Yes, I will follow you, Lord, wherever you go. But based upon Christ's answer, this man probably really didn't know what he was volunteering for. I think about people that volunteer to help. That you ask for volunteers, people say, well, I'll help you. And then you find out what the job is, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, I'm not sure I want to do that. If there's a messy job, And you didn't tell everybody what it was and said, I need some volunteers. People say, oh, I'll volunteer, whatever needs to be done. And then you give them a pretty nasty job to go do that's going to cause some people to draw back. And this man was expressing enthusiasm. He was expressing the unreserved devotion. I'll go wherever you want me to go, Lord. But he spoke precipitously. He spoke not really knowing what he was saying he would do. And I think it's very noteworthy that the Lord never tried to pull the wool over anybody's eyes about what it meant to be a Christian. I know that sometimes people, when they make a start for the Lord, they don't know everything that they're starting out in. Isn't that just like marriage? When you get married and I made vows, as you made vows to your companion that, you know, in poverty and wealth and sickness and in health, and you made these vows and they sound really good. And I know I meant mine. I did mean my vows, but you know, we really don't know what the future holds. And sometimes when you find yourself in certain circumstances, it's like, I made a vow about this very thing. My wife didn't know that she was going to have to, that I'd have as much sickness as I've had. She didn't know that when she made those vows. And she was just a 19, 20-year-old girl that was vowing to be with the man that she loved, but she really didn't know everything that was going to happen in life. Well, this man did not know what he was volunteering for, but Jesus let him know. In other words, the Lord, when he calls us to follow him, he's not trying to fool us into volunteering our service to him. It's like, if you're going to follow me, this is what Jesus said. In essence, he said, you really don't know what you're saying you're going to do. He said, I want you to know this. I don't have a place to lay my head. I am dependent upon the charity of other people, he said, foxes have holes and birds have nests. They have a place to call home. But he said, I really don't have any place to call home. Don't think that you're going to follow me and have all this money and all this wealth and that everything materially, you're going to necessarily be blessed in that way. Well, it is exciting to see the dead raised. Would you acknowledge if Christ were here and you saw him raising the dead and healing the sick in the disciples, that close group, you could see him casting out devils and be like, oh Lord, I'll go with you. I'll follow you. In other words, that adrenaline rush to see these miraculous things that God does. He said, and to see the thousands fed, it's like things would be, I'd be set if I followed a miracle worker like that. Because there would always be food, there'd always be wonderful works that God could do, and I could get a little bit of that power in my life too. And Jesus said, don't follow me thinking that's going to happen. You understand this man and his enthusiasm? I'll follow you, Lord. Well, one of the conditions of discipleship was, I want you to know this is not about the temporal things in life. When we serve the Lord and we follow Christ, it is so contrary to what the message of a lot of the big religious organizations are today. I'm not going to name out names, but all you have to do is walk in the Bible bookstores, walk in Mardell's, and look at the bestsellers, and pick them up, and just kind of glance at them, and it'll tell you a lot about what's being promoted in the religious world. One of the biggest ministries in the United States, their message that thousands of people are flocking to, it is a message of health and wealth. If there's going to be a, I've heard this, I've heard him say it. If there's going to be a promotion in your workplace, it is the Christians are going to get those promotions, and it's the Christians, it's our time to get the wealth of this world, and it's in prosperity is a promise from God if you will serve Him, prosperity and health and all this. Folks, that is not what Jesus said. I don't know what would happen in those big mega churches if those same preachers this morning were to preach what I'm sharing with you today. I dare say there would be some discussions after service was over, because the foundation of these organizations is if you will follow Christ, you will have temporal physical blessing. And Jesus said very clearly here, don't misunderstand. If you follow me, you're not necessarily going to have the physical temporal blessings. Now, with that said, the Lord has promised to take care of His own. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things would be added unto you. Don't you know, I know you have need of clothes and a place to lay your head. I know you have those needs. So it's not that the Lord is immune to those, but that is not what it means to follow Christ. The Lord was interested in working in our lives spiritually. It was not about the material things of this world. I'd like to read a passage out of 1 Corinthians, and I've read the Bible, but I frankly didn't remember all of this was here. In 1 Corinthians, verse 4, beginning with verse 9, Paul was speaking, he said, for I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. And he goes through a list. He said, we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and men. We are fools for Christ's sake. Does anybody want to be a fool? You want to follow the Lord, the world is going to think you're a fool. Condition of discipleship, if you follow Christ like He taught us to, we're going to be saying as Paul, they think we're fools. He said, we are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. So would you rather be esteemed wise by Christ or a fool by the world? I would rather Christ look on my life and say, this is wisdom, and go ahead and tolerate the world looking on me saying, you're a fool. Conditions of discipleship. He said, we are weak, but ye are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. Doesn't that sound kind of like what Christ said? Listen, you, in your enthusiasm, you said you wanted to follow me, but you're going to be despised and rejected. You may find yourself naked and going hungry, and the world's going to think you're a fool. You still want to follow me? I'd rather talk about raising the dead and miraculous healings. Well, he said here, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled. We bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and the offscouring of all things unto this day. Like I said, I've read the Bible and I've read Corinthians, but I didn't realize all that was in it. Paul painted quite a picture there, didn't he? We're going to be despised, rejected, hungry, and he didn't just say a little bit looked at strangely when you walk through this store. He said we're reviled, we're being defamed. In other words, your name and your reputation is being besmirched. He said you're made as the filth of the world. Now, this morning, I should have started off by asking all of you, who wants to follow Christ? Well, conditions of discipleship. Jesus never painted a picture of you will never be sick and you'll have money in the bank and everybody's going to treat you good. Life will be wonderful. Who wants to follow Jesus? So that sounds real good, doesn't it? Jesus did not come necessarily to make the things easy in the flesh. He came to minister to our soul. And he wants us to put value this morning when we consider what it means to serve the Lord, that our value is placed on the spiritual blessings. And then when the temporal blessings come, those are just some fringe benefits. But the reason we follow Christ, condition of discipleship, is not for the material things. There's going to be some suffering. There's going to be some rejection. And you will be, when you live, like the Bible says, you're going to be a fool as the world sees it. But Christ is going to say that's wisdom, because you're choosing obedience over men's applause and men patting you on the back saying, yes, live like you want to live. So folks, in this life, there's going to be some sacrifices to follow Christ. Well, the scripture here does not tell us whether that man followed him or not. We don't read, it doesn't say he did. None of these three men that we read about here says that they followed Christ. This was the first one, enthusiastic, sounding so devoted, but all of a sudden he found out the realities of what it meant to follow Christ. All right? Because Jesus gave balance. He gave balance to that enthusiasm. And I think it is right for us this morning. We want people to follow Christ. But folks, we want to paint a fair picture of what it means to follow Christ. There are blessings. There's peace. There's victory. It's I recommend him. But at the same time, I don't want to say so much that I neglect to say that, you know what, this way is different than the way the world is. And if you go this way, you're going to have to lose some of your old friends. You're going to have to give some things up if you're going to follow Christ, because that's what comes in counting the cost. And if we preach a false picture of Christ, we're not giving people the opportunity to even count the cost. So they may start following Christ, and all of a sudden, they start realizing the results of it, and they'll say, why didn't you tell me this was included in the package? Why didn't you tell me there was going to be some rejection? Why didn't you tell me I'm going to look different than the world and act different and I can't, the Lord, it's not good to go here and do these things. Why didn't you tell me that? So folks, we do not do a disservice to the cause of Christ. I know sometimes there is a time and a place for all things, and I know fair is fair. It seems though sometimes when people go down the road to say, well, it's not a good time to preach about those things. That's more for the people of God. Say, okay, so Monarch Sunday morning may not be the place. Okay? I understand that. But then what about in our own midst? Do you realize I've watched this thing and I've recognized that there are some things there's never a good time to teach certain things? Because someone always may say, well, I'm not quite there yet, so don't let me know what's coming down the road. So I'm getting to the place. You know what? If the Holy Spirit leads someone to get up on Sunday morning and preach some things, then I'm thinking it might be better to do in your home congregation on Wednesday night. If the Spirit of the Lord led for that to be there in its truth, then Lord bless your word. And block the ears of those that shouldn't hear it and open up the ears of those that should. But the reality is that we want a balanced picture. If you want to follow Christ, this is what it means. And this is what it's going to require. All right, let's read on to this second man. He said unto another. Now here's what's interesting. This first man volunteered. He saw what was going on with Christ. He said, Lord, I'll follow you. Well, the Lord didn't call him. He volunteered. The second man, it said Jesus said to another man, follow me. Now we read about the call of Matthew and Peter and James and John and Andrew. Jesus said, follow me. And it said they immediately did what? The fishermen left their nets. Matthew left the seat of custom. It said immediately they left those things and they followed Christ. We don't read that here. Jesus gave them a call and he said, follow me. And then this was the response. Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus called the man. He didn't volunteer, and he responded favorably, didn't he? He didn't say, Lord, I don't want to follow you. But there were some things that were hindering answering the call. He said, Lord, I will follow you. I'll do that, but first let me go take care of something. And we already mentioned the scripture, but Jesus said, seek ye first what? The kingdom of God. In other words, a condition of discipleship is that we put Christ first. Now, we freely acknowledge that if you don't take this scripture in context, Christ looked a little hard-hearted. But let's understand the context, because the man... If I can just use a parallel here, if Brother Randy was had died and he's laying here, he's dead, and the Lord comes along to Justin, his son, and said, here, I want you to go preach the kingdom. He said, Lord, I will do that, but let me bury my father first. Jesus said, no, you let the dead bury the dead. Go. We'd say, wow, Lord, that's pretty rough. That's what it appears to be. But the reality is that's not what was happening here. The reality here was that if he had died, they would have buried him the same day. So it looks like just what the history and the commentators bring out about this particular passage was that it was maybe an older father. And the son was saying, let me wait until my father is passed from this life and I can wrap those responsibilities up and then I will go do what you want me to do. Jesus was making a point when he said, let the dead bury the dead. His point was, I am interested in the souls of mankind. I'm interested in spiritual things. And the reality is, folks, this morning, that there are always going to be hindrances to doing what God asks us to do. If you haven't found it that way, then maybe my life's just different, but I think we probably all have to acknowledge it. When the Lord sometimes, when he calls us to do something, in our mind we start looking at our little checklist and say, I'll get to it. Lord, but I need to get this taken care of. Young people think, well, I need more experience first. I'll get this first. And then you get middle age and it's like, well, Lord, I've got my job and I've got to focus on my job and I've got my children and I'm going to do what you want me to do, Lord, but I really need to see to my children and get my job taken care of and then I'll be in a condition to do it. By the time you get to retirement age, you're saying, Lord, I'm really worn out and I don't have the energy that I one time had to, so Lord, I'll pray for those that can go do that. The point is there's never just a convenient time. And so when the Lord said, I want you to follow me, let the dead bury the dead. Jesus was not being hard-hearted. He was not saying you can't go be at the funeral service of your father. That's not what he was saying. He was talking about the natural hindrances that are always going to be there. Whether it be, well, I need to go see about my family, so I can't do what God wants me to do. I need to go see about my job. I've got some money issues. I need to get that cleared up first. And the Lord was saying, you know what? Let those things take care of themselves. Follow me. Go preach the kingdom of God. I've got some spiritual work for you to do. Condition of discipleship then, folks, is that we've got to not be entangled and we can't procrastinate. See, the first one was a precipitous disciple. You know, he was quick to say he'd volunteer, but then that when he found out what it meant, he kind of backed off. This one was procrastinating, entangled. I have some things I want to do first. Folks, Christ was uncompromising in his requirements. It's easy for us in our humanity sometimes to kind of make some allowances. But Christ didn't do it. He was very straightforward, just like the young rich ruler that came to Jesus said, Lord, I want to follow you. What do I need to do? Jesus said, you want to be perfect? Go sell everything you have. The young man went away. And do you know what our natural inclination would be? To say, hey, wait, don't go away. Just give it some time. Wouldn't that be our natural inclination? It's like, don't walk away. Come back and worship and start working for the Lord, and we'll just trust that this gets resolved and that maybe you'll get to the place that you can go sell what you have. Or maybe the Lord won't require it of you. That's our thinking. Jesus never did that. And sometimes people that don't do that kind of get a reputation of being hard and judgmental sometimes. Maybe sometimes they are in their spirit, maybe they're not. But Christ was being very open about what it meant to be a disciple. He didn't compromise. He said, if you want to follow me, eventually you're going to lose out over that very thing. So I'm just going to be up front with it and saying, if you want to follow me, this is what's required. Now, I'm not someone that's a proponent, and I know I've heard in years gone by and that, you know, someone come down to the altar and someone meet them and they line them out. All right, get rid of this, do that, do that. There's a place for counsel and instruction. There's some things that need to be left right here at the altar. But there are other things that are issues of growth and understanding and knowledge that the Holy Spirit will lead in His time and in His way. But a condition of discipleship is, folks, when the Lord calls, let's not make excuse by all of the entanglements. Because the reality is in life that we're always going to have entanglements. That's about the conclusion I've come to. There's always going to be reasons why we're going to get to it. And the Lord said, let the dead bury the dead. Seek first the kingdom of God. And then another also said. See, we read about those that followed him. And now we're reading about people that it doesn't appear as if they did. Now we've got another volunteer. Another said, Lord, I will follow thee. In other words, I've watched this one man volunteer and it didn't work out real well. And then I watched the Lord call someone else and he had some reasons why he would. So it's like, well, I'll step up to the plate. Lord, I'll follow you. I'm going to kind of come out on top of these other fellas and I'm going to volunteer. Lord, I'll follow you. But let me go first and bid farewell to those that are at my home. But I'm going to follow you. Just wait. Let me go bid farewell. Sounds all right, doesn't it? I mean, Lord, if you call me to go preach the gospel somewhere, can't I go at least kiss my wife goodbye and give my children a hug? And isn't it okay at least for me to go say bye? And Jesus said unto him. Now, again, we're not seeing these men's hearts, which lets me know Christ was looking in their hearts and he was speaking to more than just what these men had said from their mouth, all right? So Jesus said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So what did that mean? This man was not called. He volunteered just like the other man did, and he seemed willing. But there was still a hindrance that the Lord saw in his life. It was more than just saying, let me go say goodbye to them and then I'm going to come join the team. Jesus knew that there was some attachment to the world. It seems like based on his response to the man, He said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. What happens when you put your hand to the plow and look back? What happens to your furrows? Am I saying, is that right? What happens to that? It gets crooked, right? And it doesn't take long to get veered off really badly. I mean, I've mowed lots of lawns in my life, and you know, I haven't plowed a field, but I've mowed, and if you don't pick a point and go straight, you'll end up making it curved. And Jesus said, you can't look back. This was not even about going back. You know, there's a difference in going back and looking back. This man, Jesus, didn't say, well, if you go back, you're not fit. He said, don't even look back. In other words, what he was referring to is, if we look back to sin and look back to the things of the world that we left, and there's this longing in our heart that, oh, I wish I could have that back. Jesus said, you're not fit. Because it was speaking to the condition of the man's heart. It wasn't even what he was doing. Remember Lot's wife? She left Sodom, didn't she? She left. But what'd she do? She looked back. What was she looking back to? I think it was more... Now, she disobeyed because they were told, don't look back. Well, you know the Lord told us not to look back too? Just as much as God told Lot and his family, don't look back, the Lord's telling us this morning, it's a condition of discipleship. Don't look back. In other words, it wasn't an issue of looking back, remembering where God brought us from, saying, Lord, thank you for saving my soul. It was looking back, saying, oh, I wish I could still do that. I wish I had, I think Lot's wife was looking back with a longing in her heart. Oh, I had to leave that. I wish I could be there. Jesus wants our heart to be totally committed to doing His will and His purpose. And so He said, don't look back. It wasn't an issue of going back and saying goodbye. Because do you remember when Elijah came and cast his mantle on Elisha to the call to be a prophet? And what did Elisha do? He said, I'm going to come. He said, but I'm going to go first and say goodbye to my family. And that was fine because Elijah said, what is that to me? You know, in other words, go do what you want to do. What is that to me? So it wasn't that the Lord was being hard-hearted saying family's unimportant. And what's interesting though is Elisha went and he took the oxen that he was plowing with. And he sacrificed. He killed him, and they had a feast and brought the people in. He was like, folks, I'm going to follow the prophet. And I just killed my backup plan. I killed a set of my oxen. There's a lot in that story there. But it wasn't that Christ does not allow us to have friends and family and do the things that we need to do. But He wants us to be 100% committed to doing His will. He doesn't want us to be double-minded. And we're not going to read it, but I'm going to paraphrase, excuse me, in the 14th chapter of Luke, let me just skip down through a few verses, beginning with verse 26. If any man come to me, this is Jesus, and hate not or love less, it doesn't mean despise or not like, but if you don't love me more, then your father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That is, I would say, black and white. That is red and white in our Bible. That's a condition of discipleship, folks. Some people think that their love of family is integrated with their love of God, and it is. If you love God, you're going to love your family. But you still better love God first. You better put God before your family. There are some people, it's always about their family, and the things of God get neglected. And Jesus said, if you don't love me more, I just want everybody to know up front. He said, you cannot be my disciple. And then he said, whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. It's non-negotiable. You don't take up your cross. You know, all of us have different crosses this morning. But I believe this, I do believe, and we might not want to share some of our crosses. I think some are probably so personal. But there are some things that if we're going to be a disciple, I believe there is a cross that all of us have had to bear. It's like knowing that I'm going to follow Christ, it means that there's something that I'm going to have to either let go of or pick up that's a cross in my life that maybe is different than anybody else's life around me. But it's something very personal, folks. Don't be afraid of those crosses, because it's on that cross that can bring forth greater power with God when we're obedient to take up our cross. He said, and then Jesus went through and began to talk about counting the cost. He said, which of you that buildeth the tower doesn't sit down first and count the cost? If you're going to go buy it, make a big purchase, don't you think it'd be wise to sit down and really look at the cost? We're looking at vehicles, and it was advertised as, there's one dealership I talked to, and they had it advertised at a certain price. And I said, okay, what's my walk out the door price? And it was about $3,000 more than what they were advertising. Whereas all the other dealerships, what they advertised was basically their walk out the door aside from just a few small fees. That was false advertising. They tacked on all this stuff, but they made it look better than it was so they would get some interest and try to get you in. I'm so thankful the Lord didn't do that to us. He said, this is what it means. You're going to be my disciple. But he said, count the cost. This is the reason why decisions to follow Christ, I know we are emotional creatures. And emotion, we are integrally tied. But do you know, an emotional decision to get married is a bad time to get married. Oh, she's beautiful and I'm smitten. Let's go get married. Let's run away and get married real quick. You're going to wake up the next morning and those emotions might not be the same. So you don't want to make a lifetime commitment just based on an emotion. You want to count the cost. Is this, because love, folks, is more than emotion. I'm thankful for the emotions of love. Don't misunderstand me, especially you sisters. Don't misunderstand me, but I want to make a decision coupled with the good feelings and the emotions. I do want to count the cost. Is this who I want to spend my life with? Is this, in the times that I'm not feeling emotional, is this person compatible? Is this someone that I want to be on a team together for life? Yes, it is. Now, I'll say, will you marry me? It's based on something that's a lot more solid than emotion. I think that's what Christ was saying as well. I don't want you just to make some, oh yes, I'll follow you, Lord. He said, count the cost. I want you to know what you're saying. I want you to understand. And then he went on to say, likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Folks, the Lord is interested in blessing us spiritually this morning. And he gave us this record of three quasi-disciples, three people that said they would follow him, but they had some issues, and we learn a lot about what it means to follow Christ in this passage in Luke. A verse of a song has been going through my mind the last few days that says, forever I choose the goodwill of my God. Forever I choose the goodwill. And that's the bondage of love is what that is. But I would just want to encourage us this morning, following Christ is a good thing. But he is interested in the spiritual benefit of mankind, which means there is a cross in some other parts of our life. So who is the Lord calling today? Do you hear the Lord calling? Do you hear the Lord still saying, is there anybody here that, knowing these things, is there still anybody that will follow me? I hope this morning that we'll all say, yes, Lord, I will follow you. And then the Lord saying, where will you follow me? It's like, right here, Lord. Right here, wherever you lead me. And then the question is, when? When will we follow him? May our answer be, Lord, right now. All of the hindrances, all of the reasons, all of the excuses, Lord, by your grace, I choose you and I will follow you wherever you lead me right now.